Hello, Red Wave. Welcome to Wear Bulldogs Podcast. My name is Caleb Nail. Joining me as always, Caleb Pletz. Mr. Pletz, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it was a beautiful day today, and I'm glad that the sun is staying out later. So that means summer is almost here, which is good. But just, you know, sunlight in general is good for you. So overall, I'm good. How about you?
Wonderful. I agree. Great day. Took a walk during lunch break today. Started sweating a little bit. Man, it's getting hot out here. It's awesome. And yeah, the light means when I get home, I have to do yard work now. So no excuse. We are live on X and YouTube. You can follow us on YouTube, Beware Bulldogs, and on X, Beware _ Bulldogs. Our personal handles are listed on YouTube. If you want to check that, check those out as well. Feel free. Like the video. Subscribe. Comment down below anything you hear that is that you disagree with or you agree with. No, controversy. That's what's always fun, right? We can't be vanilla, Caleb. Can't be vanilla.
That's right.
All right, today we are talking baseball, softball. I got to get Caleb's input on the coaching carousel that's going on in the basketball program. Well, we don't have a coach, so I want to talk to Caleb about that. Cole and I talked about it a little bit. I want to get Caleb's input on it. And then it's March Madness, baby. So we have to talk about March Madness and the stuff that went on with the selection committee. Don't worry, Caleb, I'll carry us there. But I want to get your picks and upsets, and we'll see what goes on. I got the bracket up, so we'll talk a little bit about it. If you don't know much, Caleb, don't worry. We'll be okay. I got some things I need to get off of my chest, though, so I got to talk about it.
All right.
Hop in the chat. Let us know where you're at, where you're from, where you're watching from. I'm happy to it's fun for us to know what's going on. All right. First things first, Caleb, we need to talk about baseball. Baseball had a series in San Jose over the weekend. They played Tuesday against Sacramento State, by the way. We got our revenge. We lost to them earlier in the season. We beat them 5-4 on Tuesday in Sacramento. So that was nice. Get some revenge. Revenge is sweet. San Jose State in San Jose. We won the first game 9-6. We lose the second game 4-2. And then we finish out. We win the series. Game three, we win 6-2. What are your thoughts after listening / watching this baseball series in San Jose?
Yeah, it was a hard-fought conference series at San Jose. It's always a tough team. I know that right now I think they're towards the bottom. They might be in last place, or I guess they're in fifth place in conference standings. But you know, San Jose is a good program, and they always play the dogs tough. So to get out of there with a series win, I think is big. And if the dogs can do that every weekend, they'll be in good shape towards the end of the year. Obviously, you know, it would be good to get a sweep here. And but 2 out of 3 is pretty good. I think, you know, Friday night, you know, Jake Dixon didn't have his best stuff, but he did enough to get to the fifth inning, and then, you know, got some help from the bullpen after that. You know, Dixon went 4 2/3, you know, gave up 3 runs. Only walked 2, only struck out 1. But I mean, the story on Friday was offense. I mean, the bats were alive, you know, Hoppy double and a triple. And, so just overall, the offense was able to, you know, carry the dogs that day. You know, Rocco Pepi had a pretty big weekend, and, you know, same thing with, Eddie Saldivar. I mean, this kid, he just has, I don't think he's had a bad game yet, but the Saturday game though was brutal. I mean, the strike zone, you know, was very small for Noah Beal. And, you know, I listened to this game like up until like the sixth inning. So the dogs were trailing for the whole game. I mean, this based off of what Leffler was saying on the radio, which, you know, he's going to be very impartial and very fair. And so for him to be, you know, almost critical of, you know, the umpiring, you know, calling balls and strikes, that's how you know that it's definitely a problem and not in the favor of the Bulldogs. So Beal was getting squeezed all day, and, you know, it was a benefit to the Spartans. And I guess I didn't get to watch it because I had to go to an event Saturday night. But apparently the Dawgs scored two in the ninth inning. They, came in down by four, scored two, had the bases loaded, and Bobby Blanford at the plate, he got beaned, and the ump called him for, getting in the way of the pitch and called it game over. That was a two outs. So a very controversial ending that, the Fresno faithful did not agree with. So definitely a tough way for a game to end when, kind of a subjective umpire call, which you don't really see that call very often. So, very strange there. But the Dawgs answered back on Sunday with the strong win. And, a shorter outing from Jack Anker, he only made it through, five and two thirds. He got pulled in the sixth. So, kind of surprised there that, he wasn't crazy high in terms of pitch count. He had been in control for most of the game, but they went to the pen early and, Vic Arriola took him the rest of the way for three and a third innings to close it on out. So Dawgs winning 6-2 on Sunday. Murph hit a huge bomb. Justin Stransky hit his first homer too. So just enough offense to get it done. So that's the me talking too much about baseball. So what do you got?
No, man, I love it. The freshman is playing great. I mean, this is, and I think it speaks for or to our coaching staff, what they're doing, developing. I mean, shoot, they haven't had long to develop him. He's a stud. But just recruiting wise and things like that. Also, I don't know if you saw on Go Bulldogs, they put the weather down. The first game's weather was glorious. The second game was immaculate, and the third was divine. It's that time of year. It's baseball season, maybe. I see Chris and Bob are here. What's going on? Yeah, we're late. I wasn't feeling too hot. Let's put it that way. And I was caught up somewhere. That's why we're. It's my fault.
He's got a case of the March Madness.
Oh man, no, this baseball team, man, is special. That I mean, more and more people are talking about them week after week, and I'm happy to see that. Shoot, we've been tweeting it out. Jump on the bandwagon now. Get on now, because I don't say baseball is playing well and lots of good players. The only thing that can stop us is a trash ump. That's the only thing. So
yeah, and very strong start to the season, 14-5 overall. I think I saw someone tweeted that this is the best start since 2011, which that was a really good team. So overall, Dawgs are on the right track, but a really, really tough test this weekend with Air Force coming to town. I mean, Air Force can mash the ball. They got two really they're studs. I can't pronounce the name, but I know that those guys are crazy good. So it's going to be a challenge for Fresno State, and we're probably going to be battling some weather. I think Saturday and Sunday, there's some rain in the forecast. So that'll be tricky too, but yeah, the Dawgs have been very good at home, and they've been answering back after losses like they showed on Sunday, being able to bounce back and not let a losing streak develop. So huge opportunity for Fresno State, and hopefully the Red Wave can get out there and make a difference, because Air Force is a very good program. I know right now they're like 500 there, 9-9, but they're on a 5-game win streak right now and leading the conference.
Let's get to you guys real quick. Mendoza says it sucks to lose even one to that team in San Jose. Hosers. He hates them. Bulldogs Bob, this is the best start for a baseball season since 2011. This is great. I mean, we got to tell people about it. That's why we're here. We're doing it. Was San Jose State picked to finish first? I don't know. Chris is asking. I don't remember.
They won the conference last year, so I would think that they were probably highly regarded coming into the season.
Yeah. Softball played this weekend as well. Didn't have the same result as the baseball team, but what happened in the softball world, Caleb?
Yeah, the Lady Dawgs on the diamond dropped 2 out of 3 to Nevada Friday night, 14-6 loss. Saturday was a 10-4 loss, but bounced back on Sunday with a 7-4 win. So we kind of hinted at that this last week that up until this point, playing the non-conference, you don't really know how strong each team is going to be. And, the the Bulldog softball team has had a pretty strong record coming into this, but starting conference play, you know, it's going to be tough. And I know Nevada has a, I think they have a decent pitcher. They at least won, you know, player of the week, the previous week. So tough challenge. And, you know, there's good softball in the Mountain West. So hopefully, you know, the Dogs can bounce back and, you know, we'll see. I think this is a different team at home too. So should be different this week. And they have a big series this weekend hosting San Diego State Aztecs. So, you know, I think every game time conflicts with baseball. So you're definitely going to have to pick either one to go out and support, but hopefully you can find your way on the diamond.
Except when the spring preview is, I know that for a fact. Only softball. So we can get out there and watch. Water polo, pulling it up really quick, played San Diego State. They defeated San Diego State, who's ranked number 23 in the country, 15-7. So their next game is against LMU this Saturday in Los Angeles. Next home game is the 28th against Cal. So, we talk about them every week. They should run through the GCC, and then my guess would be get a pretty good seed for the national tournament. We'll see, though. Got a lot of season left. All right, Caleb. Cole and I talked about basketball. There's been lots of talk about basketball. What's your initial reaction first? Because I haven't heard anything from you on this topic about the team and Hudson separating and going their separate ways.
Well, obviously, we weren't surprised. I was surprised that the Dogs found a way to lose in an unbelievable fashion to Utah State again. It was kind of hilarious, but also just kind of poetic for how this season has been. So overall, I'm curious to see how many guys jump in the portal, because I think basketball portal opened today. So yeah. I'm sure that there's probably going to be some activity there. But overall, it definitely was time for Justin Hudson to step away from this program. It was in, you know, declining trajectory. And I don't know if we've hit the floor yet, because this team still won, 12 games this year. So it could be worse, which we're definitely trying to avoid. But seeing the, you know, they announced the, you know, salary available for this new head coach, and I think it's still towards the bottom of what, you know, the conference averages for paying, you know, basketball head coaches, that doesn't give me confidence for, you know, attracting maybe a well-established coach who has a track record and, you know, a good reputation. That kind of seems more like, okay, we got limited funds available. We're going to have to take a chance on someone, someone who is not expecting, you know, seven-figure salary. So that's a little concerning, because that means the people hiring like have to do a good job. I feel like when, you know, at schools, if they're going for a higher caliber, that's mean to say that, a coach that demands a higher salary, there's probably, you know, a smaller margin for error there, because they've shown that, you know, at other previous stops, they can do the job. So that's what concerns me here, is that, you know, is the athletic administration able to thoroughly vet these coaches and find one that's going to fit with within the university, with the athletic department, and be able to build their own champion. So that's my initial concern off the bat.
I think it's valid. And, you know, the second it happened, we saw every name that could possibly go on the board went on the board, and now it's slowly dwindling down. The job was posted today, so by state law, California state law, it'll be up there for 14 days. And then we'll know. Who knows? Probably will be leaked day 10 or 12. Who knows? They may already have their guy, but they just have to do this. So I agree with you. we've been, Cole and I talked about it a little bit, but it's either going to have to be a young, unproven guy that really wants the job and wants to take the next step just to, you know, have that title and prove himself, or it's going to have to be an old guy like a Tedford situation, which I don't think there's anyone out there like that other than a Wahlberg, And I don't think Wahlberg wants the job. Otherwise, we would hear way more. And anyways, that's a whole nother conversation, I know. Now, I did hear that, and this could be wrong. I did hear that, you know, there's people with money out there that would like an older, well-established guy coaching. I just, you know, and they'd give money for that. That's just a rumor. But I don't think there's enough money out here in Fresno to actually do that. I would be shocked.
I think that's a good point. Is what is a realistic expectation for the program with the new version of college basketball, which is transfer portal every year, players expected to have a salary every year? Because if you look back to the Boyd Grant or the Tarkanian days, I mean, a lot of the guys on that team, you know, they were kind of second chance guys who were very skilled, but maybe something in their past had prevented them from going to a higher profile institution. And, you know, Tark gave him a chance, or Boyd Grant gave him a chance, and, you know, they developed them and built a program around these guys, which is, that's just not the game nowadays. So, without the money, it's hard to be optimistic that this team is going to excel. Because, I mean, I was reading about the salary that Utah State's paying their head coach. I mean, he's making over $1 million at Utah State, which, you know, has definitely not been a traditional basketball powerhouse, but they are committed to winning, and they found the money and they made it happen. So I don't know if, like you said, if there's enough money available to actually build a program that can get to the NCAA tournament.
Well, here's my thought process, and this is just my mindset behind basketball and in sports in general. You should not have to rely on money to build a winning program. It should be the coach is able to build a winning program based off of the culture and the way he develops players. So, and you know, I talked about this too. Our budget actually grew since COVID, and we've been complaining about money and things like that. Well, if we're actually having more money, it should reflect that in the record. That's just not the case. That's not happening. So, my opinion, can't use that as an excuse anymore. Once you get in a coach that can develop and establish a culture, then we can start. Then you'll see the teams, the players start to get behind the coach. You know, run through brick wall for him, take a charge, grab rebounds, do all these different things that other coaches can't get them to do. So I think priority number one should be, let's find a guy that can actually build relationships with players, one, and two, the community. We need to build a brand, rebuild the Fresno State basketball brand, because there isn't one right now. That's going to have to start within the locker room, to start with the culture there, and now get everybody else on board that's outside that locker room, and get the community involved. I think that's where it's going to have to start. Who that's going to be, I don't know. Will money help? Of course. They say money doesn't make you happy, but it sure does help. So yeah, of course I'd like it.
With those, you know, qualifications or expectations that you laid out, do you think that that's more likely a coach that's under the age of 50 or over the age of 50?
I would say under the age of 50, but it's going to be, we're going to have to take a risk on a guy, and I'm fine with that. That's okay. But it's going to have to be about the personality of the coach. That's just how it's going to have to be. Let's get to you guys real quick. Is Tavares going into the portal or not? Conflicting reports, Chris says. Yeah, I saw that too. I actually posted it. It was reported that Tavares, by a transfer portal X account, that he was entering the transfer portal. Then we were told that's not the case. I checked in the portal. Tavares is not there right now. So I'm going to say he's not transferring as of yet. As far as we know, it's a rumor. But if I was going to guess, it's probably accurate.
Especially since he's a freshman, and you know, if he can find a better situation for him, I certainly wouldn't fault him for it, just because, you know, he does have I guess, 3 years of eligibility left. I don't know how basketball redshirting works, but it would not surprise me if he ended up in the portal.
Yeah. Mendoza, reading Jackson Moore's article, doesn't sound like we can afford a proven coach. Yeah, you're correct. Barkboard Insider has a list of realistic candidates. What did you guys think of the options? I did see this list, Caleb. I don't know if you did. Mm-hmm. We've talked about a couple of them. I think Ryan Miller is a name that everybody is talking about right now. Creighton assistant or associate head coach over there at Creighton. I would love that. Creighton is amazing. And then he has some connections to, I believe, an NIL collective with lots of money that could help. I don't know how all that stuff works, but
yeah, that's something that I was curious about is, you know, what for a coach to be bringing his own NIL operation, that would be pretty impressive. Like actually having the money to pay the players. So I just have a hard time believing that, not trying to discredit any report, but just to have those donors that are going to give to the coach, regardless of where he's working, is pretty remarkable.
True. I know there's a assistant coach at Arizona State under Bob Hurley, and who knows if Bob Hurley's still going to be there. And that assistant coach is a Tark guy. He played here under Tark, which that's good. That sounds good to me. And then of course Quincy Pondexter, local ties, assistant at Washington, and. Oh, and David Grace, UCLA assistant. I would, if I was going to put money on it, I would put it in two places, Quincy Pondexter and David Grace. Those would be the two I would put my money on. Younger guys that want the job. And honestly, that's I want guys that want to be here and build something in Fresno. And, you know, that's one thing that Quincy Pondexter has on everyone. And, Mendoza, a D85. It's all about the money, Caleb. Community, pride, and tradition is boomer talk nowadays.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I guess winning money can result in winning, and then winning equals pride, and winning creates tradition. But, you know, I guess I want to live. I am a boomer, I guess. That's what I want. I want to be a part of this community and build it because we just haven't had anything near that in Fresno State basketball in a long time. I would really like that. So, but you're right. I guess I am a boomer. The kind of players who would go to Fresno State are not money first people. Yes, there you go. That's true. All right, Caleb, go ahead.
No, I was just going to pose a hypothetical to you. So would you rather take a, you know, younger, unproven coach that takes 4 years to develop and establish the program to, say, like actually win a conference tournament? So it takes 4 years, so maybe 3 years of suck, and then fourth year, finally figured it out? Or would you rather have dynamic coach, maybe, you know, we can't afford him, but we, you know, do it anyway, and he brings in crazy transfers because of NIL, year one conference champion, and then he leaves, or we get put on probation or something, and then we suck for, you know, 6 years after that? Which one would you rather have?
So I proposed this question to Cole, and I appreciated his answer. He said, no, we need what we want at Fresno State. Like, we need the Teddy hire. We need the slow burn, because the way college basketball is set up, it can be over in one day. It could be all done. So with the transfer portal, and, you know, you only need to play for 1 year and then you can go somewhere else, like NBA, things like that. We need someone to actually come establish themselves. Let's establish this program and community pride and tradition and get there. And I don't know. I that's what I would. That's what I want. That's what I'd like. I know it would be hard, and I am of the mindset too that we live in a day, or and I understand this too, where the Deion hires are the best hires with the way that things are set up. I don't know who that is because we can't afford anyone like that. But if we were able to do anything close to that, I would say do it. Now, are they going to stay here in Fresno and build a program? Probably not. And that's what I would like. I would like to set something up where we can compete like a San Diego State. Of course, that's the dream. But Dutcher's been there forever, seems like. And they are consistently, or they're well coached, and they're consistently competing for a Mountain West title. That's what I would like. Teddy, you know, he doesn't touch money for his players. Yeah, that's true. Salary should not dictate coaching passion. Totally agree. Chris and I are on the same page. Mendoza, better to win it than suck for years than to live in mediocrity forever. Point to that as well. Yeah, you can't argue that. I would like to win something, that's for sure. All right, real quick, I want to get to Pro Day, Caleb, because Fresno State Pro Day was today, and then we'll get to March Madness. Some quick things about Pro Day. Carlton Johnson ran a 4.28, I believe, 40 today. Insane. We talked about him at Senior Bowl. He was the fastest one at the Senior Bowl, and it wasn't close. Well, and he ran sub 4.3 today at former Bulldog Stadium. The dude's crazy. And I will say what helped is that Deron Bland was there kind of supporting everybody. I think it's huge for Fresno State football. If we can get guys to come back and support our players, look, here is an all-pro that most people passed on and that everyone passed on. Here's an all-pro. And he's from Fresno State. He's supporting our guys. Heck, this guy just ran sub 4.3. You know, you got guys like Lavelle Bailey out there. That's huge. We need guys like that. And I've seen them in the past. Like, I think Michael Walker came back one year for a pro day. I've seen him around. So they do, but I think it needs to be more emphasized and blasted out to the rest of the world that, hey, these guys are from here. Look at the athletes we have. Come to our pro day. And there were NFL guys there. I am pulling it up. Jacob Isaiah also benched, I believe. I don't remember. But he benched a, he did a lot of reps right behind Natani Muti and somebody else. Darn it.
35 reps.
35 reps, which is number three in the past 5-6 years or something like that. So he had quite the performance. I'm pulling up the tweet that I – oh, that's because I'm not on our profile. That's why I can't find it. Of everyone that – participated in Pro Day. Here we go. Lavelle Bailey, Eric Brooks, Stephen Comstock, Nick D'Ambra, Jalen Gill, Johnny Hudson, Jacob Isaiah, Carlton Johnson, Isaiah Johnson, Maurice Norris, and Tyrone Sampson. So those were your participants at Pro Day today. Out of those guys, Caleb, you think anybody gets drafted?
Think Carlton has the best shot. I hope that Maurice gets a shot too, because he was a very good player last season and the year before and showed some heart. I know, I think I saw on Twitter that I guess the Philadelphia Eagles were interested in him, so we'll see. But yeah, I think Johnson probably has the best shot. Beyond that, I mean, hopefully maybe they'll get a shot at, you know, USL is that the new spring league? I think there's a merger recently, so I don't really know what they're going by now. But I think Carlton Johnson has the best shot. Lavelle, I don't know if he is quick enough to be an NFL linebacker. I hope he gets a shot, but probably Carlton.
I agree. Carlton and Mo, I think, are going to have the best shot at getting drafted, of course. I think Jaylen Gill could be sneaky. He may make a squad. I don't think he gets drafted, but you know, even Eric Brooks as a slot guy. We'll see. I think he's got to get quicker. And then Lavelle Bailey, I think he's got the right mindset. He'll be successful because he's so tough. Mm-hmm. And he's smart player. So he's in the right spot at the right time. So I think someone picks him up, but I don't know if he gets drafted. Bulldogs Bob says, because of Bland's success, Carlton will get drafted. I agree. Bland has put us on the map. JD Williams is a great coach. Yeah. DBU, baby. A lot of former dogs at the Bring the Juice golf tournament. I saw that. And then he says Bailey will get an undrafted free agent deal. I agree. All right, Caleb. I want to look at the bracket here. Let's talk some NCAA March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things. First, we're going to support the Mountain West. I'm going to say I love the Mountain West, I'm a big Mountain West fan every March. That being said, Mountain West got absolutely screwed in their seeding. Boise State and Colorado State get play-in games as 10 seeds. Michigan State gets a 9 seed. FAU gets an 8 seed. What an absolute joke. Boise, I think, was 26 in the net. They use it to determine, you know, it takes into a lot of factors. But this is what annoys me, Caleb, is that the selection committee comes out and says all these things about the criteria for how they pick teams, they select teams. They do it in every sport. And then it doesn't reflect, the brackets don't reflect what they said before. So it's pretty annoying. Now I'm happy that all six got in. My conspiracy is that all six got in is because the Mountain West was hyped up by the media and people all over Twitter. Six bid Mountain West, six is everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think they agreed with us, but they had to, unless they wanted complete chaos and we didn't go along with them. We almost forced their hand, which if that's the case, good. Let's keep it up. Let's keep doing it. But the fact that Mountain West got terrible seedings, San Diego State was fifth place in the regular season. We got a 5 seed. We're the highest ranked. They were the highest ranked Mountain West team. Nevada got a 10 seed against a 7 seed Dayton. Dayton didn't have one win over any of the teams in the field of 68. Not one. New Mexico picked up a ton of quad one wins during the Mountain West tournament, won the tournament, beat San Diego State. Now, they don't take into account, they said, as much of the conference tournaments, which I think is a joke because you got to play back-to-back-to-back games, win 4 games in 4 days. New Mexico did that, got in. They're an 11 seed. Now, they are a terrifying 11 seed. But it's just things like that that just blow my mind and I don't understand. And then they left out Indiana State team. This is me ranting now. So anyways, Caleb, do you have any thoughts about the Mountain West and their seeding when it comes to the tournament? I don't think I said Colorado State's playing Virginia. I honestly think Colorado State's pretty good. They probably win that game, but Virginia's tough. They're a defensive team. It's not going to be easy for them. And then Boise State plays a Colorado team who has, I think, 2 or 3 players that are NBA prospects. So they're very athletic. I think Boise matches up well, though. But once again, we just don't get the greatest draws. Oh, Utah State, regular season champion, plays TCU, and then we'll probably have to play Purdue. Hey, great Osabor, the center at Utah State, really good player against Zach Edey. I'd love to see that. Anyways, go ahead, Caleb.
Yeah, that'd be exciting. I think I'm curious to see obviously how the Mount West performs. And, you know, part of the drama and the appeal of the Mount West basketball this year was, you know, they were all losing to each other. So that's what makes me a little concerned that we might, you know, have a bunch of losses here in the first round, just because they just had a tendency, like Utah, or who was it? Air Force went to the Pit and beat New Mexico, which was very shocking. So I hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, everyone was beatable this year, which made it fun. So I'm looking at it. Is San Diego State the highest seed at number five seed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I guess they were runner up last season, so maybe they give them a little extra respect. But I mean, that'll be tough having to go through UConn, who beat them last year. So that's kind of fun that maybe we'll get that rematch, but that'd be in the Sweet 16, I think. So, yeah, other than that, I'm sure there's going to be some upsets. I mean, I'm just kind of looking and seeing who's usually a fraud. I don't think Kentucky's been good in a while, right? Just as a casual college basketball fan, I feel like they could lose early.
Yes, but I think they have a pretty good chance this year.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know.
I like.
So I'll give a question to you. Who's your, you know, dark horse pick to make an Elite Eight run? Like maybe say double digit seed.
Oh, I think New Mexico has to be one of them. Just in how it's setting up. I think they can, I think Nevada or New Mexico, they're both in that kind of in the same, they're in the same bracket. Mm-hmm. They would have to play each other in the Sweet 16 if they made it. But I don't trust Clemson. I really like the energy that New Mexico brings. I think they could also beat a Baylor or a Colgate. And then you have Nevada playing Dayton, which, like I said, Dayton hasn't beat a single team in this field of 68. I think Nevada wins that game. And then you're playing an Arizona team. But they're a good team. They have Johnson, former San Diego State player, and then Caleb Love. A lot of people like Arizona, but I mean, Nevada can play with them. And even if they beat Nevada, they got to play New Mexico later on. And I think New Mexico matches up well against them. New Mexico matches up well against a lot of people. Jalen House is pure energy. Mashburn can hit any shot from anywhere on the floor. His pull up game is really strong. And so I really like them. Now outside, well, in that same bracket, Grand Canyon, they have an NBA prospect on there, Turner something. He's legit. They will. I'm picking them to beat St. Mary's. Drake in the East is very good. I mean, the East is loaded with teams. Morehead State's pretty good as well. But in the Midwest, the 13 and 12 seed. 12 seed is McNeese. They're going to beat Gonzaga. They're one of like 3 30-win teams. They're very good. And their assistant projected them to be a 12 seed and play Gonzaga. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
So they've been, yeah. They're, one of their assistants is like a bracketologist, and he projected their matchup as a 12-5 seed. They've been scouting Gonzaga already. They're ready to go. There's a reason they have 30 wins. They're very good. Samford plays their 13 seed. They play Kansas team with CJ McCollers and Hunter Dickinson, their two best players, have been injured. They're questionable. If they do come back and play, they're going to be a scary team. But Samford is good. They could win this game. So they're pretty good. And then I think you have to talk about Colorado State as a 10 seed. If they get past Virginia, I think the winner of the Virginia-Colorado State team is beating Texas. Sorry, Rodney Terry. But I'm just not a fan of Texas this year. Now, they will have to play. The winner of that game will have to play Tennessee. Tennessee's legit. You talk to a local guy, Christopher Gabriel, he's a big Tennessee Rocky Top guy. And Dalton Connect is amazing. Caleb, get to know the name Dalton Connect. That's a really tough game. But out of all those teams, Colorado State can match up with anybody. So they could make a run. I don't know about Boise. Florida, one of Florida's players did get injured in the SEC championship game. So they could struggle, against whoever they play. But Marquette, I don't think Boise matches up well against Marquette. Now, Utah State, I think, could make a run, but they're an 8 seed. And you asked about double digits. James Madison, 12 seed in the South. Fresno State played them. We got to watch them. They're really good. They're one of the other few teams that won 30 games. I think there's three. I think it was McNeese, James Madison, and Houston. And James Madison plays Wisconsin. Wisconsin is, I believe, it's one of the highest scoring teams in Wisconsin history. I'm sorry to bore you all with all this stuff, but it's going to be a good game. But I think people are overlooking James Madison. They're legit. They could make a run. Then they play Duke or Vermont. Duke's beatable. They won't lose to Vermont, but James Madison could beat them. And then you have, you know, then you probably get a Houston in the Sweet 16. And after the performance that Houston gave in the Big 12 championship against Iowa State when they lost by 20 some, I don't know if I can trust them. Houston is legit and they are really tough and their guards are strong. But you play against a team like Iowa State, and Iowa State, they're very good as well. But shoot, James Madison can make that run as well. So this is going to be madness. They call it March Madness for a reason. This year, more than ever, there's going to be madness. And like Bulldogs Bob said, he never makes a bracket because he wants mass chaos. I'm all for it. I hope this year is out of this world chaos. It's going to be a lot of fun. I do think after this year, there is a legit conversation for expansion. I was totally anti-expansion. Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear to everyone. Up until about 3 days ago, I was anti-expansion. Then I sat down with Cole, my brother, did some research, and based off of percentages, college basketball is like the least amount of teams that make the playoffs in all sport, percentage-wise. Okay, whatever. But after what I saw this year and the fact that we're leaving it up to all these selection committees everywhere, yeah, they take computers into account and things like that. But the fact that, you know, teams from, well, what I also think is messed up is that the regular season champs aren't making the NIT anymore. That stinks. But that's another conversation that I'll get to in a sec. But I think there needs to be an opening for four more teams. You can make the argument that there will always be argument for the next team that gets left out. Most of the time, that's not the case in the field of 68. This year, though, how it went, and how I think this is going to be, happening regularly. I struggle with that word. Because of college athletics and NIL and transfer portal, it's going to happen often. So I think there needs to be some consideration about expanding with four more teams. Honestly, you throw in an Indiana State and a couple more teams. I think a South Florida, they could make runs. They could honestly beat lots of teams in this field, lots of at-large teams.
So that just sounds like more teams complaining about having to play the play-in if you're doing that.
Well, I don't think that automatic qualifying teams should play in the play-in games. The fact that you have the 16 seeds, I get it. Like Grambling, I don't think they've ever been to March Madness before. And you give them a play-in game against Montana State, who went on a big run. They're a good team, by the way. They automatically qualified, and now they got to play each other in the first four. I don't think that's the way it should go. I'm fine with giving, I think like Michigan State, they should have been a play-in game, 100%. I honestly think Gonzaga should have been a play-in game. They didn't win their conference. St. Mary's did. They should be a play-in game. Kansas should be, teams like that. Don't give it to automatic qualifiers. So, anyways. And also, Caleb, other big news of college basketball. There's teams, once again, opting out of the NIT. St. John's and things like that. We saw North Carolina do it last year. What an absolute joke. Who does that? I don't know. Sorry. Just go ahead.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's... Fresno State basketball fans, a lot of their greatest memory is when Fresno State won the NIT in 1983. So, I think it meant a lot more years ago back then, I think the NCAA tournament was only 32 teams. So, a little bit different, nowadays. I don't know. I think that it just doesn't mean as much to play in a postseason tournament to coaches. I know that, you know, Fresno State found, what, 2 or 3 years ago when they played in whatever the third or fourth ranked tournament, that, I mean, it cost the athletic department a lot of money to play in that, because, you know, you got to pay your own way, and, you know, that wasn't necessarily in the budget. So,
hey, we did win something under Hutt.
That's true. Yeah. Say something nice about Hutt. There we go. But yeah, kids, if it's just becoming about money and, you know, where they're going to go play next year, then might as well get in the portal sooner and, you know, go find their next apartment. So frustrating, but at least the NC2A tournament is still a very big deal. And all of these programs, you know, that's what they're shooting for. While you were monologuing, I did some research because you brought up McNeese State, and I was like, okay, well, I've never even heard of this school. So their coach, the first year coach, so his initial contract, with his base salary, was only $200,000. They just gave him an extension and a raise that increases that to $700,000. So if we're talking about the budget that Fresno State has, it's possible. You just got to find this guy. I guess he was on the LSU staff that, like, had sanctions or something from, improper recruiting or something. So it is possible, but then you're going to have to pay up if you want to keep him.
I think he was on the Florida staff that won 2 national championships too.
Oh, all right. We just need to start fishing in a different pond.
I think so. I think you're right. Caleb, I'm going to throw your name to the hat for the committee, the search committee. I think you should be a part of that crew. I hope you're ready. Kerry, thanks for joining, man. All right, Caleb. I was looking at the NIT bracket, and I'm going to quit looking. I'm a huge college basketball fan, if you guys can't tell. So I love it. It's been very disappointing the past couple of years in Fresno to watch college basketball. But it's happened. I mean, we get to talk about it now. So I guess that's one thing. I'm excited to see what happens. I will be getting behind the coach no matter who it is, because I want to see their success. And I want the coach to know that there's people out here that care about the program, and we have high expectations for you no matter who you are. So, Coach, if you're listening, I have high expectations. I'm expecting, you know, at least second, third round Mountain West tournament next year. I'd like that. Maybe not the ninth, maybe a little bit higher than the ninth seed. So, Mountain West tournament. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Fresno State Athletics, still, we talked about it earlier in the program, so go back and check it out. Baseball, softball, all coming up. Water polo. Bulldogs Bob, can you guys comment on the rumors that came out tonight about a change in our AD? Big rumors, Kerry says. Yes. I don't know if you saw that, Caleb. I did. There have been... Okay, so no one heard. There has been rumors around the Fresno State Athletic Department. Not from anyone, as far as I know, in the department, who knows where they came from, that because of the way things were handled within the basketball program, there may be a change coming in the athletic director's office. No idea if those are valid rumors or not. They're rumors. Okay, they're rumors. Robert can't take it anymore looking at all these rumors. I'm with Robert. And I, you know, at some point, and this happens every year during football season, after Caleb and I talk about things and exhaust things for about 3 months, just kind of have to say, okay, we're just going to have to wait and see where everything ends up, because we're not going to know until they make the announcement. Or let me say this, it's never official until they make the announcement. So I think year two, I got caught up in trying to be first. Never try to be first, because then you just look like an idiot. So now I just wait, and I'm usually last, but we're right. So that's what we wait until. Bulldogs Bob says, I never understood the Terry hate. I'm actually with Bulldogs Bob on this one. We may have talked about it before, Caleb, but you know, he didn't hire Hutt. He's hired good coaches. The coaches that are here now, the newer ones, are pretty good. I would say. We talked about it on a Twitter space where now if Toomey is staying here, this is going to be probably his biggest hire, this basketball hire, because the football ones were, you could argue, were kind of easy. You got Tedford and then DeBoer's there, and then Tedford's coming right back. You know, water polo, volleyball, great hires. Overland's there in the baseball world. So, you know, you could argue about that hire. So when it comes to hiring people, I think Toomey has good judgment. Now, and Bulldogs Bob beat me to it, maybe he isn't a good fundraiser. That's what we talked about on the space. I would like to have seen over the past couple of years Toomey out in front of people more rather than just behind closed doors where boosters are. Trying to get, you know, that's not... You hear politicians talk about the middle class and all these things all the time. And I'm not... This is nothing to do with politics. I guess it is. The AD has to go talk to everybody. I mean, everybody. The fans. Because us diehards over here at Beware of Bulldogs, us hosts, all you guys in the chat, we're not multimillionaires. We can't give... Shoot, I make nothing. I make nothing. The most I can give is $10. But guess what? If most people are like me, so if you can go get $10 from everybody that appreciates what's going on at Fresno State and you inform them of what's going on and they're supportive, that's huge. And now all those people know people. They're going to talk to people and it gets back to the people with money. And like, oh, there's everybody loves what's going on. Maybe I'll give even more. I don't know. But I don't know, Caleb. Talk to me about... I saw your face when I brought up the rumor, so I know this is the first time you're hearing this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't really know what to think about that. Yeah, in the few times that I've met Mr. Toomey, he's been very pleasant to deal with, and I enjoyed talking to him. So personally, I think he's nice, and I enjoyed him. But a lot of our conversations keep circling back to money, and so. If that is something that he isn't able to, elevate with the university, then, maybe they are looking for a change. I mean, I was just curious because I have a hard time thinking that someone's going to be fired just based off of all the financial constraints. So it looks like a year ago, Toomey signed a 2-year contract extension. So, unless he's going to a different job, I would be surprised if they let him go just for financial constraints.
That would be my guess, is Toomey's taking a job elsewhere rather than us getting rid of him. I think that he would get a job elsewhere. I don't know. Who knows? It could be something we could be talking about Jamie White next week if not being here. I don't know. Who knows? We don't know what the rumor is, but there is going to be something happening. So, and I'm with Robert. We ain't firing anybody. Trust me.
That's right.
So I'm with Robert there. We'll see what happens. Apparently it's going to be coming out soon. I have no idea what it is. It's all rumors now. So Caleb, we will see. We'll stay on top of it. And we'll talk to you guys next week where we're going to be talking. I mean, I guess we'll check in on everyone's brackets. They're going to be they're going to be gone by then. But we'll be talking baseball, softball for about the rest of the year. And we'll see what goes. Yes, it'll give us a topic for next week. That's for sure. Easy show next week. So, all right, Caleb, anything to end with?
I think we just about covered it for this week. So hopefully the bat and ball sports can have some good home stands this weekend with important conference games, especially baseball. They're forced coming to town. because they're at the top of the conference. We're at the top of the conference, so getting some head-to-head wins, definitely important.
Yeah, my internet's getting real bad. Everybody's getting on. It's time to get out of here. Everybody stay safe, stay healthy. God bless. And as always, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.